This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Scream.
This is a screamer for Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, saying support Women in Horror Month. It is Women in Horror Month, or Women in Horror Recognition Month. What is it? It's an international grassroots initiative. It encourages and supports those women involved in the horror film industries. They're usually underrepresented, but that can change. And that's why we invite you to listen to our special Women in Horror Month episodes. And episode 3. That's quite the surprise, February the 16th. Let's just say one word, Suspiria. All right, get your ghoulish garish girl rags on and stay tuned with us on Sci-Fi and Scream as we celebrate 2016's Women in Horror Recognition Month, only on Joy 94.9 on Sci-Fi and Scream with the Screamer. So stay tuned for that and more. It's all about celebrating and supporting women who make horror movies, television, write screenplays, write fiction, make comics, make zines, whatever it is they're into, we will support them. It's positive, it's inclusive, and it's only here on Sci-Fi and Scream. Women in Horror Month is February 2016.
Now the fun starts.
Oh, my poor little baby.
I am the mother of this difficult but very beautiful little girl. It's for your own good that we put you in the clinic. And that's where you stay, you understand, until we decide.
Mamiko, I hate this air. Please don't make me go back. I'll die.
We who are gathered here, Nicholas, my precious, will you help us? Nicholas, are you here with us tonight? I am searching for you. Let me in. This is not Nicholas. Some other soul is here with us tonight, trying to break through. Oh, some soul. One of those who follow. The recent dead who followed the killers. Speak. My head. Took my head. Murdered me. A monster with a noose. I wasn't the first. And I won't be the last.
I know
who the killer is.
I'm the only one
who knows.
The killer
is
present!
Grabber, the holder!
Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. We have the sound of sighs happening, Suspiria, and the Latin means sighs. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam. Thanks to Chatterbox again for a great show with Barb, doing all those wonderful hits from the 80s up to the 90s.
1990s.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And so this is Woman in Horror month. We're halfway through. It is Tuesday the 16th of February, and this is part three, where we delve deep into some of the men who manipulate the ladies, maybe, wow, on the silver screen, or the screen. I've got Sally, I was going to say Sally Field, but no, Sally Christie.
I'm not the flying nun.
I wish.
Or Sybil.
There
maybe
she goes.
Sybil.
Maybe I'm Sybil, yeah.
Yeah. There she is. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Sonia.
That's cool. From Cine Maniacs, apart from other things, I'm sure you do other things.
Sometimes.
From that.
Yeah.
Corralling some of the best horror.
Yes,
in
indeed.
Melbourne. Films, that is, yeah. And returning, of course, Lauren Stardust.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
How
it's
are
been
we?
A few days.
It's been a few days. Oh, but how they pass. Oh, yes. Yes, wonderful. Thanks for having me again.
That's cool. Now, the first track, though, we played was an awesome blast from the past, from the Return of the Living Dead.
Yes.
Sally, tell us about, you chose that track.
I chose that, yeah, 45 Grave, Return of the Living Dead. I think that's that great scene where Linnea Quigley, who plays Trash in the film, is dancing.
That's the character's name.
Yeah, is dancing topless like she does in many, many films.
Heck yeah.
Is that's the right scene? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And I believe it was when they start actually coming from the rain.
Yeah,
the
rain
comes down.
And the zombies start coming up.
Such a great film.
Because that's photosynthesis.
It's my favourite zombie movie.
Was that science?
Yeah, that was science. Yeah, so yes, Party Time, the zombie version. 45
so
Grave
good.
From the Return of the Living Dead. 1985, it was a pretty good year for Blow Waves and
it was.
Actually, great films came out that year. I want to say that The Goonies came out that year. I want to say that
Demons came out that year.
Oh, Demons.
Yeah.
Sounds like something's happening there.
Might be screening this weekend.
Okay.
In Melbourne.
Might be.
It is.
Oh, it is.
Definitely
it
is.
Good.
Cool.
That would be disappointing. Yeah. And look, we're all in our PJs here in the studio because it's like a Suspiria night out there almost. We just need
the wind. Yes.
Horizontal rain, don't we? And the sound of women screaming and
secret.
Not in a bad
turn
way.
The blue iris.
Yeah. So it's all about witches. So there's three of us here. What does that mean?
And there's cauldron.
And there's a cauldron bubbling and boiling. Some dry ice in here too, smoking away. So look, if you have a favourite horror film, it just happens to be filled with women, one way or the other. Let us know, 0427JOY949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au, and we will read it out. We might even know what you're talking about.
Maybe.
Who knows? Possibly.
Between us, I'm pretty sure we have the entire history of horror movie catalogue
somewhere
away.
Yeah. Between the three of us, we might be able to do it.
Yeah, I reckon we can.
We'll see how
for sure.
Yeah, we got this.
But Suspiria, look, we're looking at Dario Argento. Sally's probably the most, what do we call it, straightforward, academic type, smart one in the room.
That's not true.
It's the glasses, isn't it?
Yeah, she's wearing glasses that no one can see, but they're really good glasses.
We can see them.
Yeah,
they're good.
Yeah,
they're good, aren't they? Mm. They're stunning and horny looking. Horn rimmed. Not quite horny looking. So, yes, Suspiria. This is 1977, Jessica Harper. I mean, we've got an American actress there who looks a bit lost.
She does, doesn't she?
What does she get herself into?
What have I done?
What the hell?
An Italian film. Mm-hmm. What's it about?
Witches.
It sort of follows the same pacing as Rosemary's Babies, which is also witches pretty much, isn't it? Yeah, fantastic.
And women witches.
It has the same, I suppose, like I was looking at the parallel between Rosemary's Babies where they obviously keep her quite drugged up. She's sick all the time in bed. It has a lot to do with the food as well. And a lot of scenes in the bedroom. And based around that. Yes.
I love that amazing scene in Suspiria where they're having the sleepover. And there's that sheet and there's all the shadows behind it.
I mean, that's a strange sleepover. Didn't they have enough rooms? They had to use sheets as dividing.
Is that something to do with the maggots? Yeah, it's the maggots from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not how I get maggot, but whatever.
Crunch, crunch. Yeah, the scene in with the maggots is quite... A lot of maggots were in that film.
Hmm.
I'm sure a lot suffered because this is probably before maggot rights and, before the protection of animals... used in films.
Does
that apply to maggots?
I think so. Maggots are people too. Until you step on them.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yes, crunch them. Delicious. But there's a great scene. What is she, the
She's dressed like a sort of, yeah, kind of scary prison guard, isn't she? The head mistress or whatever she is. Crunching with her big shoes, crunching on the floor, going up to look at the maggots.
Yes. Gosh, what a presence. What a wonderful cast of women.
Yeah, that's pretty much the entire cast of Suspiria is almost all female. I think there's only about two males in it.
That's amazing. One guy she likes, the blind gentleman, and then they're like wait staff.
Yep,
gentleman.
What sex is the dog? Do we know?
Poor dog.
The puppet.
Poor little puppy.
Poor little puppet. Oh. Puppy. Sorry. Yes.
Amazing.
We'll say the dog was female.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We'll just throw that out there.
What a maestro Argento is, you know, to make a film like this. Profound long-term effects it's had on many people.
I know, it's
isn't it something that you come back to again and again?
It is. It's an absolute masterpiece. I just think it's every time I watch it, I'm blown away by how amazing.
Do you see something different in it every time I do?
Yep. I think so, because I think there's not really sort of any solid story to it either. So, you know, what you look changes every time.
Surreal.
You see it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's sort of like if Dali met. I don't know. Dali met Goya in a nightmarish Technicolor way in the 70s, you know?
Yeah, that was also his first film that he made that moved away from the giallo films that he did. So it was his first horror film.
Because didn't he work under Mario Bava? He was one of his...
I think he was one of his assistant directors.
Yes, or Minions or...
Yep.
Very influential in Italian cinema. Like, wow, they know how to do horror.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess they had a lot of real experience to work from, so...
Mm-hmm.
From the Second World War onwards. And it does remind me a bit of Pasolini too, some of the style of the shots.
Yeah, well,
this
I think
this
that,
is 2 years
Argento
after Pasolini's murder, so
was a huge Pasolini fan. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And I read somewhere one time he got to interview Pasolini, and it was such a huge deal for him to be able to talk to Pasolini about how he worked. So he was a big influence on Argento, definitely.
Big influence, Italian cinema. What I like about it is the way the visuals are more important than what's going on with the dialogue, definitely.
Yep.
And the visuals and the cues and the symbols. It's very symbolic, symbolist film.
There's that scene where she's calling us Susie Snake in the change room.
Yes. Yes.
And there's all those women in the change room, and I was reading somewhere that... there were about 8 different languages going on there. Obviously, they knew it was going to be dubbed, so no one could understand what the other person was saying to them.
Oh, really?
Love it.
Oh, that's really
That's
sweet.
The way to make a film, I reckon.
They were all just talking, and no one knew what the other person was saying to the other one. So it's interesting.
Well, that's not happening here tonight. I think we all understand each other.
I think we're on the same wavelength. We're using our telekinesis.
Telekinetically.
Yes.
Nothing will explode, we promise. Nothing will erupt into fire. Like Firestarter or anything like that. This is Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy.
Salve, I am Claudio Simonetti, the Goblin keyboard player, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
It's useless to try and explain it to you. You wouldn't understand. It all seems so absurd.
Anything about
Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. Salve, as they say. Buona notte, come sta? Che lisse? Does anyone know Italiano?
No. You know that scene with the change room that you were just talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what's going on right now.
Exactly.
Do not understand a word of it. Yeah, just my little callback. Yes.
It's beautiful, though.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, so here we are talking about Women in Horror Month, and we've chosen because I guess for me it's always been about when we look at a lot of horror films, it's men who are making them. Traditionally, men make them. Not always the case, but in the last at least 30 years, it has been the case. It's changing, obviously, quite a lot in the last 10, Hooray. 12 years. But I think I've never met so many women who liked a single male director so much who makes horror films, and that would be Dario Argento, the Italian maestro, of course, of Giallo, which is yellow, that sickly yellow, mm-hmm. sort of the yellow of a dying canary, I think someone explained it to me mm-hmm. once, which was a bit sad. And that's the whole thing, there's a pathos about it, the melancholy and the dread.
Yeah.
There's always that deep dread with Italian horror, and Argento certainly a career covering 40 plus years now. Mm-hmm. Under the tutelage originally of Mario Bava, the classic man who, unfortunately, a few cats drowned, I think, in one of his films. I can't remember the one we put a whole lot of cats in a sack. Anyway, we don't condone that.
No.
These days, the great thing is you can use CGI or you can use makeups.
Yeah.
You can use makeups.
Makeups.
Special effects.
Meow, meow.
Yeah. So, it's talking about Argento and his usage of the female and women in his films.
It's interesting because a lot of people consider him to be misogynistic, which has been brought up to him in interviews time and time again. But I think his use of gender is really interesting because he's often got female killers.
Yeah.
And in a lot of his films, I don't want to give away spoilers for people that haven't seen them, but to begin with, they're dressed as men. So we instantly assume that's a man, so he challenges gender roles in that way.
Yeah.
They always end up being the powerful ones in his movies, even though, of course, there are the ones that are brutally murdered, hysterical, mentally ill, but normally the woman ends up being the source of power in his films.
Mm-hmm. Very true. With Suspiria especially, I'm a big fan of women working together in horror, and it's because it is obviously it's set in a dance school. The bond between the women, especially I can't remember her friend's name, and I just watched it. It's Sophie or Sarah? Sarah.
I don't remember either.
It's okay, but her friend, her roommate, sort of they bond together, and her being so desperate to try and explain to her and working out things, but of course she's drugged out of her mind. And but I'm a big, big fan of women coming together. Yes, but it's really neat. It's really nice to have female killers as well because women aren't sort of portrayed in anything as like horrible or scary, or if we are, it's always some sort of strange stereotype.
Yep.
Whereas Dario seems to be quite happy to have women be amazing monsters. It's awesome.
Yeah, the villain, the monster, he really celebrates that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And of course his daughter,
Asia,
has also been, part of that story, I guess, the way he treats women. And uses them and has them in his films.
Mm.
What do we know about her?
She was in his version of Phantom of the Opera with Julian Sands. I'm pretty sure she was. Yeah, Julian I love Julian Sands.
He was a demon goat, devil god in one film.
He was in Warlock.
He was also in Boxing Helena.
Boxing Helena.
There we go.
Lynch. Oh, I love
David
that
Lynch's
film.
Offspring.
Yeah,
great.
You know,
that's
she grew up.
Weird.
It is indeed.
She grew up in the Eraserhead set. So
really?
As a little baby.
Imagine that.
There
of course
was.
She made Boxing Helena.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I'm trapped in a studio.
I keep imagining that studio's been black and white. You know,
grey and dismal. Don't you? Of course. Yeah. You feel as though it was just always that way.
Whereas you think of Suspiria and you think of garish hues and colours and those pinks and reds.
Such contrast. And they're not afraid to change from pink and now blue.
Yep.
And now green, and now pink, and now blue.
Like it's like someone's come along with a slide. You know, those slide projectors. What are they called?
Slide projectors?
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. The coloured projectors. We'll call them that.
suddenly change the colour with a slip of the slide. And he loves glass windows.
Ah, breaking. Yes,
breaking over women's necks, usually.
Yeah, that happens hands. In Tenebrae as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's an axe through a window.
Oh, yeah.
Chopping an arm off. It's a beautiful scene.
I thought someone... Oh, maybe.
Anyway.
Someone got some glass through the neck in that. Maybe.
Oh, there's definitely glass action. Well, you know, in Suspiria. And especially, and once again, I believe the glass ceiling is green, red, and blue. So, yeah.
Like 3D, just, it's not 3D.
All, almost. I think it's just like he likes to keep a theme of colours. He's very into making shots art.
Yep. Very romantic.
Such a beautiful set.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if we had to choose an Argento film, would it be Suspiria? Do you think that's the one?
Mine definitely is.
Oh, really?
100%.
The first film I fell in love with, and I found it because I'm a huge Labyrinth fan.
Really?
With David Bowie. Me. Go figure. No, I used to go online and watch fan trailers for Labyrinth 2. Sarah and Jareth get together fan fiction.
I didn't even know they existed.
They totally do. And it was great. And there was a scene where Jennifer Connelly was being kissed in while she was lying in bed. And I was like, what is that from? Because it's obviously Jennifer Connelly and I've not watched any other films. And it was from Creepers.
Yeah.
Or Phenomena, as it's known.
Yeah.
So that was the first one I really enjoyed. And it's amazingly schlocky and fun.
It's great.
It's about her being able to...
I think it's one of his most serious films.
I think it's just maybe the budget and the fact that the monkey has the razor
and actually so if it wasn't for Dario Argento, we wouldn't have Labyrinth.
I was going to say
because it was made in 1985,
and
Bowie apparently was a big Argento fan, and he could choose whoever he wanted.
There's that excellent picture of Bowie and Argento hanging out together.
There you go. And it was so Jennifer Connelly's first film as well. Yeah, and but it is about her being able to communicate with insects and sequels. I believe it was her first film, as far as I know. She was only 13 or 14 in Labyrinth.
Yeah,
and she must have been like so little in this one. When did it come out?
1985.
Oh, okay. So the year before. Oh, look at the lovely poster as well.
Oh, beautiful.
She's so wonderful. I love that contrast.
There's the hands again. Creepy hands.
Creepy hands.
Electrical purple colours.
We miss you, Hans.
Hans. Hi, Creepy Hans.
Creepy
and
Hans.
Of course, it's got Daria Nicolardi, also very famous for appearing in many of the Argento and Italian giallo films.
And she co-wrote Suspiria.
And is
the mother of his children.
Yes.
Oh, well wowsy. Let's not get off all crazy here with our knowledge.
That's cool. She's a beautiful woman. She's still around with us, thankfully. Lives in Florenza in Italia.
So is Dario quite happy to have women involved in the writing, in the making stages of film?
Yes.
Killer.
Yep. Mm. As far as I know, there's, I know that Daria, she co-wrote Suspiria.
Mm.
I'm not sure about Deep Red. She had the main female lead in that.
Mm.
But there seems to be quite a lot of female involvement behind the scenes with writing with most of his films.
Yeah. Cool. I suppose it's like 85 in the 80s. And was he making films throughout the 70s as well?
Yes.
Yes. So I can imagine seeing, like we were talking about.
Yeah, he's doing his...
Look at all these films that she's been in. She's in Tenebrae as well.
Mm.
Inferno. These are some
Phenomena's
of his films.
There as well.
Deep Red or Profondo Rosso. She's been,
The
Mother of Tears, of course, one of my favourites from 2007, which has Asia in it, Notes of Love, The Devil's Daughter, Opera, of course, is also the one known as Terror at the Opera.
Ah, excellent. Yeah. I had a wonderful box set version of that.
So get needles on your eyes. That's where that comes from.
Very
he was very innovative, or they were an innovative team.
Mm-hmm.
Culturally very innovative and came up with some amazing, cruel, horrible
torturous ideas to be made into cinema. Take that, Saw.
Yeah, well, that's where it comes from.
He has this weird way of having these awful deaths that you can really imagine, like that one in Deep Red with the woman in the bathtub with the boiling water.
Ooh,
like, that's just like, yes, oh, it's yes, brutal. Yes. Every time.
Was her name Blanche?
I hope sorry. So.
I hope
the,
it was.
Well, in most when I watched Suspiria today, I was surprised at how terrifying I found the death scene of the blind man.
Yeah.
Because you can imagine that, like, the in it's your head, in like that fumbling well. Around in yep. darkness exactly. and not knowing.
It's a big really, piazza.
Isn't
very
it clever?
Open.
Mm-hmm. And you're not. And you can never tell what's coming with it.
Yeah. But it's a piazza. And a mm-hmm. piazza is a place for people, mm-hmm. not a place to be alone. Mm-hmm. And piazza, if you notice the fascist kind of iconic, you know, icons
oh,
and there.
They and have the military, like the sort of police military.
So I guess
guys.
That's yeah. what he's saying.
Ah.
The fascismo, they never go away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's still part of Italian culture yep. in many ways.
Oh.
Especially, I mean, it's the 70s, so.
Totally.
They would
yeah.
have been. I guess baby boomers,
mm.
whatever the Italian version of baby boomer is, bambino boom,
bambino boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom. I cannot to help myself. So yes, Suspiria and many more, and we'll be looking at a few more. I think. Don't go away. And don't forget to message us too if you want to. 0427 Joy 949 with your favourite Argento film or Giallo film or Italian horror film. You know, you might like Fulci.
I like Fulci.
Like a bit of Fulci in the
like
morning.
I like Jello films.
Jelly films.
Yeah, like sorry. Films about Jello.
Yeah.
No, Jello different, sorry.
Different. Jello, you know, Jello and sprinkles here on Sci-Fi and Screen.
Hi, I'm Maurizio Guarini, keyboard player of Goblin. You are listening to Sci-Fi Scream at 94.9.
Let's see now, about that time, first girl to disappear. That was September 9th, 14-year-old Danish tourist named Vera Brandt. The body was never found.
Just like the other girls. After finding this, what's the use of hiding from the fires? There's a killer. A vicious killer.
I'm sure you're going to like our school. To begin with, we all speak English.
By the way, I'm Sophie. I'm French. Jennifer. You know, I'm really glad you're here. I've always had to sleep alone. It can be very scary. You know, there's a murderer around here. It's girls our age and kills them. And then he hides the bodies.
Last night is highly irregular. No student ever left the school at night before.
How many times do I have to tell you that I didn't walk out on purpose? I walk in my sleep.
Have you any idea where you've been?
No. What if the killer saw me?
Have you any idea why they behave like that? It's perfectly normal for insects to be slightly telepathic.
Yeah, it's normal for insects. But am I normal? I love all of you.
Find Scream here on Joy 94.9, the wonderful phenomena. Beep, beep, bididi.
Badow, badow.
It's Claudio Simonetti, or Goblin, and Maurizio Guarini.
Goblins.
Little goblins making music. I mean, what a great, as far as with Dario Argento, a relationship there. Like, he certainly had his relationships with his woman that he had in his films and worked with and lived and loved and divorced and everything else that goes with that. And also on the other side, he worked a lot with a lot of interesting composers and great musicians. Also the senior of Italian film and making, including Goblin. And this was the big hit for Jennifer Connelly.
Woohoo!
Grasshoppers will never be the same.
Never, ever.
In your pyjamas. Which you just happen to be... Oh, are we allowed to say you're in your pyjamas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
It's all right.
I did a reveal and everything to Sally.
It was
so
good. Oh, my God. Like, no, she didn't.
I was so surprised.
There's no nudity here.
What a plot twist.
Yeah, what a twist, all right. You're right. So, yes, Argento and his loves and losses, his women. Of course, Henry Pleasance was in Phenomena, pretty much playing Dr. Sam Loomis, as he always does, like, you know, Halloween.
He's good at it, though.
He is good. He's a father figure, isn't he? He's got that gentle yet could be menacing appeal, I guess, father figuring.
Yeah.
I think of that one.
Yeah.
And it is surprising, like I said before, so many women who love Argento films.
But, yeah, we were talking about, like, the mixed reviews of Argento, because I was talking to my partner even about it recently, and they were saying that they saw them as, like, in their sort of memory, they were like, oh, no, isn't that really sexist? And but, like, obviously, as as far as we're concerned, it's not. But also, like, I mean, the point that they brought up was that, that, you know, you're torturing women for an hour, but... usually, it's women who are also seeking revenge and getting revenge, or the monsters or the villains themselves. So, it is quite interesting.
Yeah, I think Argento once said that he prefers to use women in his films because he finds them more interesting than men, and that's all there is to it.
Oh, yep. We love you, Argento!
No answering back from us for there. But yes, so Sally, of course, Singing Maniacs, your baby... your bambina.
Bambina.
Because bambino is more than... is that just one bambina?
I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, and we're not talking about the vehicle. But demons. There's a lot of women and demons. Female characters.
And that's a... yeah, you know, Lamberto Bava. That's Mario's son. And, also, you know, really Argento... he co-wrote Demons, and you can see that he's got a huge, huge influence in it. And, yeah, it's interesting that he's sort of gone on from working with Mario Bava. Then Lamberto Bava was, God, was he the assistant director? He was on Inferno and Tenebrae.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, so he's gone on to direct.
It's the family way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no, they're all friends. They're obviously, you know, like working together.
It's like the mafia of movies.
Exactly.
With no fish in your boots. He slept with the fishes. No, I don't know.
We set demons on him.
So yes, we've got demons screening on Saturday night, which has a rather spectacular woman in horror, Giretta Giretta, and she's, you know, done some exclusive interviews for us, and she's been really fun to work with, and she plays, of course, Rosemary, the first demon in Demons.
The head demon, the top head, demon.
The one that first turns.
Yeah, it's the one that first turns is the hardest to kill. Mm-hmm. And it's always the way.
What's
demon lore?
Argento's oldest daughter. She had one of the leads in Demons, and apparently that Bava was so difficult to work with, she's never acted ever again since then.
Wow.
So Argento's probably slightly more easygoing in that case than Bava. But, yeah, you do hear stories about his dad not being the greatest dad and just not being there for them, really. Too and then, passionate about his art.
I think Demons 2 was Arja's first film.
Oh, yes.
And she was a little tiny thing.
Little tot.
Yep.
Was she a demon in that one? Tot demon? Or the baby demon?
Don't think she turned into a demon, no.
I love it when little kids are in horror films, they turn into little demon
it's good,
brats.
Isn't it?
Kids are creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind that's of what we
learned. Yeah. It's good.
All right. So remember, if you do have a favourite demon baby or a favourite woman in horror moment, any film that involves the ladies in horror genre, let us know 0427JOY949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. What a splendiferous soundtrack.
Oh,
don't get to say that very often.
I think some of the best soundtrack I've heard on air here.
Yeah, it's excellent.
This is what is this? This is, Dario Argento's Phenomena soundtrack.
Oh, it's
great.
And
we can hear a little bit of Motorhead, Locomotive. We've got Simon Boswell with Maggots. And actually, sorry, I beg your pardon, this is Iron Maiden. How could I be so stupid? Flash of the Blade. I thought it says Flash of the Bride.
I love how 80s horror movies all have these awesome hair metal soundtracks.
They
love
hair it. Metal?
Ring!
Yeah. To ring, trail ring. Away from horror for a moment, oh. Did you know that Legend by Ridley Scott,
yes,
which I suppose Cruise. Has almost horror aspects because
Tim Curry
is quite terrifying.
Underlord, whatever he is.
He's like his darkness. Did you know that had an original soundtrack by Tangerine Dream?
Really?
Yeah, really, really. And it's great. And it's
they were out
truly
here.
80s. Yeah, last I year, heard. I know, and I miss like an idiot.
You are always an idiot.
I know, what a dingus.
As a fool. Yeah, no, they played at the town hall, and apparently they used some of the organs.
Wow.
Did you go? Exciting. No, I didn't go, but I watched some of it on Facebook.
Rather.
I watched all my friends going, having a great time. Thanks a lot.
Cool, I have no money. Yeah. what about modern horror? What are we, over the last decade, what would we say?
Modern
has
horror?
Been, well, modern
don't
horror.
Don't watch anything that was made after 1993.
Well, I haven't seen any Argento's new horror. Like, I've never seen anything past
Trauma.
90s. Trauma?
Yeah, Trauma. 1993.
What?
2007, Mother of Tears.
Oh, okay. Well, but I don't think I've watched anything.
All with Aja in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. And then she left him and he was like...
I'm trying to think what would have
lost
been...
Lost for words.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen Dracula. But was it Dracula
3D?
I haven't seen it.
That came out in, what, 2012?
Yeah, fabulous.
Is it? In 3D?
Is it?
Oh, I really
well,
want to
no,
watch
critics
it.
Hated it.
Oh, but critics
did you
are
like
critics
it, though, Sonia?
It's a guilty pleasure.
Oh, that's all it
then
matters.
Then I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
This crap.
Just but, great.
But what a great cast. Thomas, German name.
Thomas, German name.
Hans.
Kleischmann. Kleischmann?
Thomas Hans Kleischmann.
Excellent. Oh, and Rutger.
Rutger
Hauer.
Ah, yeah, he's Rutger. Always good.
When Doves Fly, what is it? The little bird. It was his birthday
Prince.
The other day.
Happy birthday, Rutger.
Oh. No, his replicant's birthday.
Oh, yeah, Blade Runner. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
It was. Too. Yeah. Yep. It was. He was born on the David Bowie's birthday, but what, like 100 so years in the future? Oh no! Well, 2016. It's his true birthday, wasn't he? It was his.
He's only a year old. Yeah. Not even a year old.
Well, in 4 years he'll be dead. So, that's why. Well, that's how long we live for in Blade Runner, right?
Yes.
Remember the pop culture thing. Go me. Success.
Nothing like some Iron Maiden. Well, don't forget, Joy 94.9, it is hashtag 94 days of summer still, and that means you still have a chance to win some awesome stuff, but you have to join. It's really simple. You can do it online. Don't ring up because there's no one here to answer the phone, but do it online by just simply going to joy.org.au. Keep us on air if you wish to. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy.
This is Ashley C. Williams, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Gerard Johnson, director and writer of Housebound. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Thank you.
Dracula. Yeah.
That was some A-grade Eurovision shit right
that
there.
Was Eurovision pop opera.
I would get all amongst that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Claudio Simonetti. The sounds of Claudio and
his experiment.
Experiment. And a kiss of Dracula.
I loved it.
Yeah, I would listen to that on work.
Where
that
do you watch the video? There's a wolf in the video. And it's 3D.
I know exactly what I'm doing.
Oh my god!
It's a 3D video if you've got 3D glasses at home somewhere.
I can arrange
from the last
that.
Movie you saw.
Yep, watching it, doing it. It's done.
Done. All right. And I can't get over the beautiful posters that they did for the film.
Oh,
very reminiscent of Hammer films and all those other ones.
Yeah.
Think of right
now. Only 2012. Wow.
I know. And he hasn't really recovered since.
Has
the critics hated it. But
oh, what a critic.
I don't care. It's camp. It's pure camp.
Yeah.
In 3D. And you can see the actual sarcophagus and the rocks moving. You know,
is there anywhere that,
against
is there anywhere that would actually play it for us? Is there?
It played in Monster,
Sally.
I think.
Yeah, it was.
Two
it was
years
on,
ago.
It was on at Monster Fest.
Mm.
Turns to Sally.
Cinemaniacs.
Sally.
Dracula 3D.
There's something about Sally.
I
when Sally
meets
Harry. When Sally meet Harry.
Harry.
It's a werewolf tale. No, but seriously, Sally, you should do a camp horror classics.
Well, how good would that be?
I'm sure Gambin would be into that.
I'll have to
maybe
ask.
You should do it in honour of this of Eurovision, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Surely you could do it. Tie over. No? Crossover? No.
Crossover.
With
yeah.
Might be a stretch, but, you know.
Hey.
People dress as their favourite Eurovision horror outfit.
Yeah.
Which
well,
could be any of them.
Lordy,
the
really. Yeah. So. No, it was the Angel and Devil. Angel and Devil drama they had one year that was flippin' sick.
Who was that?
I don't remember.
That?
Oh, about 2 years back.
That
but
also
I remember
on RuPaul's Drag Race as well. Sharon Needles
really?
And Fifi.
Oh,
Sharon
wasn't
Needles.
She fantastic?
Fabulous.
The best.
Her and Peaches Christ.
Booze are just cheers from ghosts.
Booze.
Yeah, and when in doubt, freak them out.
Oh,
her,
booze,
my most favorite.
Not booze.
Booze are just cheers from ghosts.
That's
she's
just, booze
actually
just
amazing.
Spirits.
Oh,
yeah.
So good. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, other female influence. Well, yeah, films. Recent, because you guys are like...
Well, we were talking about
dusting
Housebound.
Off the cobwebs. Yeah, Gerard Johnson's Housebound, which came out a couple of years ago.
So grand.
Kiwi
what a
film.
Great film. What a great,
yes.
great film.
And Rima Tiwiat, isn't it?
Yes.
And she's just awesome. You know she's an opera singer.
Get out of town.
No.
She should have sung
don't
you
want
or
to.
Not. Stay here. Wow. She could do a version
of... Her dad
of...
was an opera singer.
Oh, wow. How fantastic. That
that's
was what
genetic,
I was going to be when I was going
genetic vocal
grow up.
Cords.
Mm.
Really? Have you got genetic vocal cords?
No, no. Well, apparently my grandfather was a bit of a singer, but
right.
I yeah,
just
no.
hoped.
Hmm? Oh, no, no. I went and trained. Oh. Like, yeah, yeah. I was doing... I didn't get into opera school, though, and it broke my heart.
Training wheels on you.
Sad story. Oh. But, you know, Housebound was fantastic. Get back to the horror. And my other favourite female-driven film... done by a male director. I will have to look. Oh, the director of Oculus. Do you recall the name?
No.
No, awful. It's lesser known, but it's called Absentia. It was a completely low-budget horror film, and it is one of the best horror films I have seen in the last 5 years.
How
easily.
Recent is it?
I would say it's... Oh, it got greenlit. I'd say it's probably only a couple of years old. It was before Oculus. I'll have a little look into this one. I do apologise. It just came to mind, so I'm not really prepared. But Absentia is truly a film that that proves that if you've got amazingly well written and well driven,
and my favorite
actors, yeah,
you know, you're going on.
I am going on and on. I am going
no,
on. Watch Absentia
right.
Anyway.
Starry Eyes. It's done by a man, two men,
oh.
Kevin Kolsch and Dennis Vidmar.
I would have to say that's probably
bloody amazing.
My favorite recent
last
horror
years,
film.
Yeah.
I've not heard of this.
Oh, it's excellent.
Oh, and Alison Alex Esso, brilliant. And it's what is it about? It's sort of like if David Lynch did Mulholland Drive,
yeah.
But there was no romance in it at all, and it was actually set
and
in
there was
a backyard
cult.
Of a takeaway burger bar.
Yeah, it's great.
And there's a cult. There's
oh,
a
really?
Cult. I also really liked, I forget the character's name, but the female lead in it. I thought that they really stayed away from stereotypes with her, that she was an aspiring actress, but she wasn't the typical kind of blonde.
She plays Sarah.
Bimbo.
Yeah,
she
Alex
was
Esso.
A really excellent,
brilliant.
Excellent character. I loved Starry Eyes.
Yeah, oh, and Pat Healy's in there. Pat Healy, he's a bit of a cult sort of pre-hipster actor from Chicago, Illinois. He's worked in The Innkeepers and Cheap Thrills. And Innkeepers, of course, is by another very Ty West, who appeared in, of course, what did he appear in? You're Next. So there's this whole hybrid of Mumble Horrorcore.
You're Next.
It's called Mumble Horrorcore.
Yeah. I haven't watched.
You mentioned Innkeepers to me when I told you
to watch it.
You're Next, but Your Next is flipping amazing. Okay, like I couldn't believe how underrated it was when I watched it. I couldn't believe everyone was raving about it.
It's so amazing. Good. Shani Vincent from Home and Away. Wow.
Yeah. And so, she's such a good screen queen now. And it's so surprisingly female led. Like that was quite, like it's not really a big twist or anything like that. It just wasn't advertised that way because maybe they think that women aren't a drawing card, which obviously they're very wrong.
Of course, the other one that is, I'm not going to mention it follows, but I just did. But The Guest, I don't know if people saw that. It has Micah Monroe from It Follows in it. And Dan Stevens, of course, as we know, Mr. Hunkerfoid from the Upstairs and Downstairs show. What's it called again?
The Upstairs and Downstairs show.
Blah, 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 blah. Rich white people, turn of the century England. Last century.
Upstairs, downstairs. What?
I have no idea.
Well, obviously, it wasn't.
Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey.
The Guest, amazing. Again, it's the same two guys that did You're Next and were involved in that, Mumble Horrorcore, Adam Wingard, Simon Barrett. You'll see their signature work in VHS 1 and 2, which are like vignettes of horror. Yeah. Pretty good. But warm on the second one. Uh-huh. I liked VHS 1, but not so much 2.
I had trouble with VHS because they obviously do a short story in VHS. Yeah. Is that correct? Because but the over arc of like there was just so much unnecessary sexism in the over arc in the first one, which I was just like, I was actually disappointed because I enjoyed everything else, but it's like
did
the people
you like
who
the alien abduction one?
Loved it. Oh, scared
fucking
the
why? What
scared
a little
the
dog
crab nuggets
talk about
out of
that.
Me. I'm quite terrified
you seen
of aliens.
It, Sally?
Yeah, but I was,
don't ruin it.
That's okay.
Maybe I watched the first story on the first one, and that was as far as I got, I think.
Yeah, I saw it as a lot of unnecessary sexism in it, which I was just really disappointed in. But the rest of it was fantastic, and especially the succubus.
See the guest if you get a chance to. It's pretty interesting. Again, Micah Monroe is in it. Mm. She's like pretty much like what her name says. And it's a fascinating film. Sort of like outer suburbia of Arizona, if there's such a thing. Mm. It's just like desert and, you know, Joshua trees and tumbleweeds. Mm. But amongst it all, this man, mysterious man, turns up at their door saying that he knew their son, the family son, who's died in Iraq or Afghanistan or somewhere like that from the war.
You've told me about this one. Yes, yes.
And who is he really? It's very mysterious. And he plays and manipulates all the women in it. So I recommend it. It didn't get a wide screening. It was at MIFF last year.
Yeah.
One session only.
Really?
Oh, really sad.
God. Did anyone see, I know we're running out of ideas in cinema, but did anyone see the remake of The Crazies?
Yes.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, surprisingly.
I only saw it on DVD, though. I didn't get to see it. Cinema?
Neither did I. And I feel as though, I feel as though horror isn't really advertised in cinema.
I don't
as
think
much
it's not in the cinema.
The Astor does it. But remember the days when Scream, like, won awards?
Yeah, exactly.
Once upon a time. Oh, what's happening to horror?
I remember going to, like, the Melbourne premiere of Scream, and it was such a big deal. Like, I was little. I was about 13 or 12 years old, and my mum took me, and it was, like, such a huge deal. There were so many people there. It was so exciting to see it in the cinema. Mm-hmm. And, you know, horror.
I love horror. That's
true.
That's true. Here on Sci-Fi and Scream, we'll have to wrap it up shortly. Don't go away. Boom! A little bit of trauma in the background there. I mean the soundtrack here on Sci-Fi and Scream. And this is part three, saying goodbye, part three of Women in Horror Month. One more. Next week we have Sarah Lambert coming in talking about horror films and her thriller she's making called Innuendo. And we also have the return of Bailey with the A to Z of Horror, and we're going to be reviewing The Witch.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Which film is that? Oh, I'm so sorry.
The Witch. Good old times in 1636, where being a woman was plagued with difficulty. And
much like today.
You couldn't go out alone at night. It could be unsafe.
Much like today.
You couldn't necessarily have, a child. And well, you had to have a child. If you were unmarried, you weren't allowed to keep the child.
Oh.
the man of the house pretty much ran everything, and, you know, the woman of the house didn't earn very much money. Maybe it's not 1636.
Oops. Wow.
Wow. Well, thank you very much for coming all this way, Lauren Stardust.
Thank you so much.
In your PJs.
I did. I'm just 10 minutes down the road.
I know. It's great, isn't it? And Sally, thank you for coming
fully
dressed.
My pleasure. Next time I'm coming in my PJs, though. I'm jealous.
Excellent. We can have a pyjama party.
Yeah, we should. Wow. Maybe not. No. All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much. And this will be podcast later in the week. In the meantime, keep watching all the horrific horror. I wonder if we got a message after all that. Oh, we did. Oh, I shall just briefly rest it. Do something with it. Wrestle it out of the email. Daughters of Darkness, Delphine Seyrig. Oh, definitely. The Hunger with Catherine Deneuve and David Bowie. I like cool, elegant lesbian vampires. Thank you, Grant. Very good. I do
awesome,
too. And from Justin, go Sally. Here we go. Go Sally. She is going. She's leaving the studio
right now.
Look at her go.
Yeah, go. Thank you very much. Good luck with this Saturday with Demons.
Thank you,
Sonia. And same to you. Lauren,
yes.
Do this
I'll
Saturday.
Be probably yeah. coming to watch Demons, to be honest.
We'll be there. Sci-Fi and Squeam will be there. We promise. All right, have a good night, everyone. Up next, more Joy on Joy. You have been listening to a very special episode of Sci-Fi and Squeam for Women in Horror Month, February 2016. Celebrating all things horrific to do with women who make films of the horror genre, maybe books, writing, fiction, cartoons and zines, and much more. Only on Sci-Fi and Squeam. It's Women in Horror Month, February 2016. Thanks for listening.
He chose you out of all the world, out of all the women in the whole world. He chose you. He arranged things because he wanted you to be the mother of his only living son.
No! It can't be! No!
Look at his hands.
And his feet.
You have been listening to a special podcast of Sci-Fi and Squeam for Women in Horror Month 2016, celebrating all things girly, all things gory, women who make horror, from books to cinema to comics to zines, all sorts of chat and things to do with women in horror. Spooky bitches. Thanks for listening to Women in Horror, only on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, because it's Women in Horror Month, February 2016.
Now the fun starts.
Hear me, demon. Leave this woman body.
This is Tara Reid, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Sci-fi and Scream.
You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.